your Testament bays. We're going to begin with, on the very, toward the top, the fourth line, which we only touched upon the first couple of lines, and the machlokes between the Rosh and the Rambam, exactly what it means. Just we'll see these two lines. Yes, which we saw them already. But let's see the Gemara now. Omer Bihuda Omer Rav, in your Testament bays. Hamotzik Hilayim Bevigdo. So let's say a person unfortunately has shatnez. How he has shatnez, how do we know, how does he know now is shatnez? That you have to use your imagination. But nonetheless, he has shatnez. So poshtan, he has to remove that shatnez, he has to remove that garment. Afil b'shuk. Apparently, even if he's not wearing a whole lot other than that, it doesn't make a difference where he is, he has to remove it. My taima, what's the reason for this? Because the pasuk says, "In chachma, in tmunav, in etzel neged Hashem," which, in short, what that pasuk has come to teach us is that kol makom sheishchil Hashem, ein cholkin kavod l'rav. That even though on one hand you think kavod harav, kavod for myself, kavod habrios, maybe I should keep myself clothed in the shuk, in the marketplace. On the other hand, in chachma, a person is not allowed to come up with any of these chachmas and these different forms, the different eitzes you have.
Get out of it. No rationalizations.
Right.
So why don't you just say, it says remove it. Why doesn't it say throw it away?
Well, you could take the shatnez out of the garment.
Well,
and have to waste
years
it.
Ago, maybe in the time of Gemara, you know, that was woven into the cloth as was today. Most shatnez occurs in the undercowl of the jacket. It's not really the fabric. And first of all, you buy a suit. You look at the suit, it's woolen and linen or more, you're not going to buy it. So for most, even all wool suits, the collar is a comfort. So, put it this way, and it's not today, it's made in Hong Kong, it's not anymore either. It's a suit made in Italy today, in Europe, here, most of the cheaper suits are synthetic, you don't have the issue.
So not to worry.
But to fix that is not an issue. You just take out, you put a different kind of piece of Invalining.
Right.
But in the time of the Gemara, the whole guy walking, whatever he's wearing, his toga was made out of the whole fabric was no good. So you can't just take out the thing. Here is the change. They don't take out the shotness per se. They take out the piece of fabric that's woven to the.
You're not answering his question.
Why? Why am I not answering his question?
Why do you throw it? The answer is
because it was no good. The garment was no good.
The answer is the issue is osulba shot.
So you can use it for other things.
You could sell it.
Sell it or whatever. Yeah.
Give it as a gift to a guy.
Right.
There's no Issa Hano.
Right.
As opposed to Trafus.
No, Trafus is good. As opposed to the Hull.
What? If you have a Yulat, I have a Traf restaurant?
If you have Traf meat, can you give it to your dog? Can you skip it to a guy?
Can you sell it?
Sure.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have a trade. You're saying you can have a trade for restaurant.
I'm not getting into that.
Selling.
We're talking about trade meat straight, not basar b'chalav. There's no basar b'chalav.
No, basar b'chalav, you can't.
No, basar b'chalav is cooked together.
What?
It's be derech bishul.
So, something you order a restaurant that sells cheeseburgers.
So you're not supposed to.
Well, now it's a new thing.
So don't.
No, they're using tofu now.
They're using tofu, but you heard what they said.
No.
They said that, you know, it's the old thing with the Prima, when Prima came out. You have to make sure to say and open that this is not cheese.
No, but I'm saying too, if you're a Jew and you have a treif restaurant that sells cheeseburgers, lo sevashel gedi b'chayli b'mo, bishul has nothing to do with achila. It's the bishul you're not allowed to do. And if you're in the restaurant, you're cooking it, or the person, your agent, is cooking it for you.
You can't do three things, bishul, achila, and no.
All right, so I'm saying, so you can't own a treif restaurant. That's my point.
Well, yeah,
and I know, I'm not saying I won't mention any names because I'm not to Lashon Hara. I know Jews that own treif restaurants.
And what about a guy who owns a treif kosher shop?
No, I'm asking the question. Well, again, no, but here at Bishul, we go to a restaurant, your mom is cooking milk and meat together.
Yeah, it doesn't have cooking.
But here you're cooking.
I'm not really following. I mean,
I'm saying you,
there are Jews that do a lot of things.
No, I understand, but I'm saying
what is the principle of the principles? Can I own, be the owner
of a McDonald's? Of a McDonald's.
Can I have an owner of a McDonald's franchise?
A person is not allowed to.
Am I allowed to write profits from a shop like that? You won't see me, you'll never know. I have an LLC that owns a McDonald's franchise. Can I have it or not?
No.
Okay.
No.
You know, there's a problem with people who are studying to be chefs. They go to these courses and they do a bus of
hours. That's
it. No, they can't do that. They can't do it. They cannot cook bus of hours. Period.
So let's go back to what we were talking about, Shatnez, because I have no idea what we're talking. So Shatnez, we were saying the difference between Hana and Na'afila, wearing it, right? So
you're allowed to... Wearing it is Hana.
Right, but you can use it for other things other than wearing.
Yeah, but you can't wear it, so you have to take it off.
So that answers the question, why doesn't it say take the garment and throw it away? The answer is because you don't have to throw it away, you can use it for something else. So that this is the theme of what this Gemara is going to be discussing, that even though there's on one side Kavod Brios, but since you're going to be violating an Isser from the Torah, the question will be also applied even Midrabanan, when do we make exceptions to this rule? You're not allowed to violate a Torah law, even if there's Kavod Brios. That's how Rashi says, translates the word in Chachma, is Tshuva Neged Hashem. That even though maybe you want to rationalize and say, well, maybe over here it's different, you know, after all I'm in the middle of the Shuk, it's ridiculous to take this garment off. No, you're not allowed to make up these excuses, rather you have to take them off and not create a Chil Hashem. Again, we discussed the Machlokas between the Rambam and the Rosh which is based on the words of our Gemara, it says that you have it's bevigdo, it's in your garment. That's when you have the obligation. The Rambam does not have that girsa, which we had a very difficult time understanding the Rambam last week. Understands that this is not only referring to you're wearing the shatnez, but even he's wearing the shatnez, that you also have to take it off of him, encourage him to take it off.
But let's say you're on a clothing store, you sell suits made in Italy, can you sell it? Or do you have to, you're allowed to have that nod from selling it, even though you're not wearing it?
Oh, so it sounds like, certainly according to the
Rambam, you can't sell it to him.
Right, so that's for sure. And I would imagine even according to the, and there's other issues, you know, with the Avilosit and Meshul, you can't do something in which you know someone is going to be doing an Avera because of you. You shouldn't be doing that. That's wrong. So you're not doing anything technically wrong, but you're causing another Jew to make a mistake.
Right, but, yeah, so but a lot of times you go to a store that a Jew owns,
right,
and he says, okay, does he want the shatnez tested or not?
Right.
Okay.
And you say, I would say, yeah, please have it tested.
Right.
Somebody else may say, don't test it.
All right. That doesn't mean that it's shatnez. It just means you don't want to get checked.
No. Fine. So now, what are the onus on?
Well, you...
If you're the owner of the store,
right? I'm the owner of the store,
and you don't know if there's shatnez in this clothing. There's a possibility.
Okay.
Okay. Right. And you're offering the check for it.
Okay.
Okay. Can you sell the piece if the guy does not check it for shatnez?
Based on the reading
of the Rambam.
Based on the reading of the Gemara, it sounds like the answer is yes, you still can, because it's only Hamaitza Kelayim. You know definitively that it's shatnez, which implies that if you buy a garment, you don't know if you can wear it. The Rambam says.
You don't test it, you don't know. I don't know, out of sight, out of mind. I don't know if that's that anymore. I don't want to know. I buy a suit.
The storekeeper says to you, we know that we tested 50 items. This suit, do I have to go and test it? He says, fine, no.
You just still get a check.
But if you don't get a check, you can't
walk into a grocery store and just randomly pull something off the shelf and say, yeah, whatever. It may be kosher or whatever. You have to do your effort to make sure it's fine. That everything is know.
Is every Italian soup good fancy soup automatically shot?
A lot of them. No, but a lot of them are. A lot of that's only interlines, not the fabric itself.
Most of them?
And the fabric, and let me ask you a question, though. And the funny thing is that piece of fabric, okay, you're the only one, Rabbi, wearing the suit. Can I just show you what I'm saying to you?
Uh-oh.
This piece over
not
here.
Too close.
No. This piece here, it's not part of the fabric. It's attached to the suit. So necessarily, so even if it's wool, it's not made of wool in this, but it's not part of the fabric. It's sewn onto the thing. So why should that really be shot in this technique?
Really? It counts part of the suit.
No, it's not part of the suit. It's not part of the fabric.
But that's how kalanas made.
What?
They'll graft.
Woven together. This is not woven together.
They'll graft a one fruit tree, perhaps another fruit tree, and bind it together.
That's kalanas. They have a species that's... It's a mixture of the two. Here it's not a mixture of the two. Here you're just taking a piece of interlining and you're sewing onto the collar so the collar doesn't wrinkle. Otherwise, you'd be, your collars would be rolling up. But I'm saying to you, is it's not part of the fabric.
It has a connection.
It was a shackles.
You're making a connection.
If it's hanging on over there, it means nothing. Evidently, when you're putting it in here already, you know, it's part of the garment. Who are you kidding?
I thought it's something that's woven together of shackles.
That's one aspect of it. There's a full degree and there's a partial degree.
Are you ever a little pregnant?
What he's saying is the word shot is, as Rashi says, shua tovi the nus.
Right.
It's interwoven.
It's interwoven. Mm-hmm. This piece of a thing is not interwoven into your wool suit. It's a separate piece. And then nobody uses wool in the interlining. It could be flax, it could be linen, but they're not combining wool into the most interlinings.
No, like, you know, you're saying it has to be part of the fabric.
Woven. You have a woof and a warp. Okay, it's woven together. They use linen yarns and wool yarns, and they weave it together. This is not woven together. This is just it's just sewn on top of it. So it's really technically not shotness, if you really want to think of it. Again, I don't profess to be the expert in shotness.
Everyone's making a lot of money on the shotness stuff.
That we know. But from what I'm saying, what you're saying, what the way Rashi explains it is, it's woven together in, the yarns are woven together. Yeah, the yarns are not woven together.
Listen, in those days, they had, they didn't have interlining.
Exactly. That they used to weave linen and wool yarns together on a loom. Imagine, yarns going this way, yarns, and it's woven together. This is not woven together.
But now you have to ask the question, professional, ask them whether an interlining touching, an interlining is touching it, I don't say it's sewn to it,
So wait a second. So that means if you go wear a linen shirt and wear a wool suit on top, it's touching it. You shouldn't wear that.
But it's not the same.
Why is it not the same? It's touching it.
Okay, let's keep going. Again, the Gemara is now at this point going to be discussing this whole concept that sometimes we completely will overlook, maybe we'll overlook a mitzvah, as we're going to see in some questions, in order to be able to preserve the Kavod HaBrios. And sometimes we don't care about Kavod HaBrios, so we're still going to require that you make sure to perform that mitzvah, even though it may be humiliating by doing so, because we do not want you to cause a Chil Hashem. And one of the things that we discussed also last week was a Chil Hashem does not necessarily mean, as it's generally defined in the outside world, as, you know, if I act a certain way and people are going
to
be.
But there's
this.
The whole thing of tznius, right? Let's say you're wearing wool garment, you have to take the garment and walk around naked. Where's the tznius involved?
That's a good point. That's obviously a question, exactly how. On one hand, there's an issue of shotness, but then there's this other element. I would imagine that this Gemara is not necessarily talking about that removing a garment is necessarily going to compromise tznius. It may be embarrassing that I have to take off my garment in front of people. You know, obviously it's because they see that I'm wearing shotness, or I generally am found wearing a certain garment. I'm wearing this jacket usually, now I take it off. It's clear that I'm was wearing shotness. I'm not dressed in the dignified manner that I generally am. So it's possible you can interpret it that way. Let's continue the Gemara. So the Gemara asks the question. Mesek. The Gemara challenges this premise of the Gemara. It says, cover us a mace. So let's say, as we've been discussing throughout this parak, kvura. So the kvura has taken place. The chazru, so now you are accompanying the person who was in Avelos back to their home. Lifnehem Beis Drachim. And there are two paths in which one could take. Achas Tahara, Ba'achas Tameya. So one path you know definitively, if you cross through this path, it's Tamei. And Rashi says, Sheish Bokever. You know, there's it's a cemetery, there's graves there. The other way is Tahara. So the question is, what happens Ba'a Tahara? If the person who is, as Rashi says, the Avel, happens to be walking B'Tahara, and his mind is completely absorbed in the loss, in the Kibur which just took place. So the question is, should I accompany and continue walking with the Avel and show respect to him? Or, on the other hand, if I do so, I'm going to become Tameh, and I shouldn't become Tameh. Or, should I walk by the Tahar path so I don't become Tameh? And therefore, what will have happened is I'm not going to accompany him as maybe I should. So that's the dilemma that we're faced with. So the Gemara says that Baba Tahara, if the person who's an Avelis goes along the path which is Tahar, so by name of Tahar, there's nothing to talk about. Of course you go that way. You have nothing you gain, you still talk. Baba Tomo, what happens, however, if he takes the wrong path and he's going down this road? Boin imo b'tumah. You're allowed to go together with him on that path, which means, Pleasant, you know one path is tar, one path is has a mace, kavur, has a cemetery there. Nonetheless, you're allowed to accompany the person who's in the veils. Mishum kvodo, because of his honor. So what do we see? We see that we will not care about certain elements of the Torah, such as becoming Tameh, which is not a good thing, in order to preserve the covenant of Brios.
I have a question about this.
Okay.
Are we assuming that this individual went with this mace to be burying this individual,
his dead relative?
His relative. So right away he has a level of tumah.
Okay.
Right?
Possibly, yeah. Assuming that he was the one part of the burying, right? Is that what you're saying?
Either he was part of the levaya or part of the burying or even being at the kever. He's got some right. level of tumah smes. Okay? So okay. Now when we're walking,
right.
Okay, he can go to Horo or he can go to Meya, mm-hmm. but he still has a level of tumah with him.
We don't know if he was part of the center of the burial. He may be just greeting him.
The way it says here, Kavru SMAs for Chazru v'Chazru. They
walked back and went back.
They're using the plural term, Kavru SMAs for Chazru. That means to me that both entities, Kavru SMAs
right.
and returned.
Right.
Also, are we talking about plain person or are we talking about Kohen over here?
They're even talking about Kohen is same thing, same halacha.
Okay.
Coin is the same.
So basically, even if he washed his hands, he still has a level of tumor.
Hey, they shoveled dirt on the body. Everybody's around the shoveling dirt. Everybody is carrying the coffin.
Therefore, it'll be better if he walked on the path of the Tahara, but going on the tumor path, he's not changing anything.
And now that if you go to certain cemeteries, like the Washington Cemetery in Brooklyn, you can't breathe. You're stepping all over a tomb. There's everywhere you go, there's another grave.
So I can't see how this question, how this example can go ahead.
And in most cemeteries, you're walking around on dead bodies, unfortunately.
The question is, can you add to the tumor? That's the question. It's tummy, right? It's still going to be tumor.
Degrees of tumor?
Can you add
tumor
more?
Tumor smakes is tumor
smakes. Right, exactly.
What's the highest tumor? Have you ever seen tumor? What do you have?
Is my question, is there a fault with the question I'm asking, or?
No, that apparently the premise of the Gemara is that for somehow, some way, you're not Tameh, even though you are accompanying this mourner, the person after the Kfuru, right. Which maybe because you weren't necessarily present at the time, or you weren't in that vicinity, or you didn't become Tameh. However you want to define how you didn't become Tameh. Because you're right, otherwise it doesn't make sense because he's Tameh anyway, so what's the difference?
But where are you meeting him? You're meeting him after the cemetery.
Well, it's not, based on the simple reading of the Gemara, it doesn't sound like that.
And wait a second, if you're, let's say, you know, you go to a cemetery, anybody goes to a cemetery, and you pick up Tuma, and a guy walks next to you, shakes hands with you, is he picking up Tuma?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's the point.
Most definitely.
All right, so the point that I'm saying to you, whether he's in the cemetery, he's out of the cemetery, he's walking next to the guy who just buried a body, so he picks up the Tuma anyhow.
That's only if he touches it. Touches the mess. Or the box.
Well, if a person touches a mace, you become
But if you touch a person, you know, that just buried somebody, you get tuma.
Yeah, you become a rishon.
All right, so I'm saying to everybody around this guy, whether he's at the cemetery or you go to the guy's house, you go to a nichum avail, you go to a shiva call, and right, you know.
Not if you don't touch the guy, and if there's no mace, there's no ohel.
Yeah, right.
So you're not coming that way. You go and visit someone who's sitting shiva. Even though they were just at the cemetery 5 minutes ago.
You said there's no ohel.
In other words, if the mate, if the mace wasn't in the house.
In
the same room.
Where they're
sitting. Okay, so that goes back to now the new thing of how Kohanim can go on a plane with a mess.
That's right.
So 1 minute. So Elal makes an ohel now. That's the purpose of that box.
No, they're putting a stainless steel thing
into another lane, but the height and the thing
makes it
so it stops it at that
right, a certain
so it doesn't
height.
Go above.
Above a certain height.
Right. It must be that the Gemara is asking this question, which we'll finish the question in a second. The premise must be that the person is still tahar. Has to be. Because otherwise, you're right, it doesn't make any sense. Because otherwise, what's the chiddush that you should follow this guy down the tummy path? Of course, what's the difference? Your tummy anyway.
Can you explain the girsa?
It's not very clear, but kavuras and mace doesn't necessarily mean that you, the one who's accompanying him, was the one that did the kavura. It means that the mace was buried. And now the person who is an avelus is coming back, and now you are accompanying, you are side by side to this person. Doesn't mean necessarily that you're coming, because otherwise it would make a big problem. And the fact that the Gemara doesn't answer that in that way lends itself to believe that it probably is talking about the guy who was tahar. Otherwise, the Gemara would ask that question. The Gemara asks, "Am I?" The pasuk which we've quoted before, that after all, if in fact when it comes to doing the right thing, following the Torah, which includes not becoming tameh all the time, so why would we allow you, assuming you're tahar, to walk down a path
that's tameh,
in order to be able for Kavod HaBrios, because we see we don't care about Kavod HaBrios. Ein Chochma in Tvuna in Tzemach Lashon, we don't care about it. Because after all, we'll let you derobe in the marketplace so that you're not going to wear a shatnez. So obviously we're not concerned about Kavod HaBrios, right? And in fact, going back to the Lashon of the Gemara before, a few lines back, Kol Makom Sheshchil Hashem in Cholkin Kavod HaRav. So even though you can say becoming Tameh, or remaining tahar is not necessarily a mitzvah, but it certainly is a chil Hashem if you're showing that, who cares about tumah tahara, it doesn't mean anything. So it shows a lack of care.
Because if you went on your own, then that would mean it. All right.
That would certainly be a chil Hashem to do so. Okay. And therefore, for you to walk with it, so the question is how can we allow? And some of the Mepharshim ask the question, it's interesting, you'll see the difference in the pasuk that's quoted. The same pasuk. But the first time we quote the pasuk, it's in full. Ein chachma in tefuna ve'im eitzel neged Hashem, which is the correct reading of the pasuk. Here, it's ein chachma in tefuna neged Hashem. And they skip half of the pasuk. Mm-hmm. The word's in eitz, because eitz means you have advice, which means you have options. So some of the Farshim learn that when it comes to the shot in this business,
you have options.
You don't have an option. You don't have any options. But over here, you can go this way, or you can go that way.
So that's why.
That's what the Gemara's comments teach us.
That's why some of us say why the Gemara doesn't bring down. No, this is not the answer. This is like a side point.
But how can you go? But you know what the pasuk is.
Yes.
You can't split the pasuk just because you want to have it fit into what the way you want it to be.
The words are still there, but the point is that the concept of an eitzah. There still is. You still have an eighth, so you could go this way, you can go that way. But of course, the pasuk is still there. This is just a, you know, because otherwise, why doesn't it just bring down the whole pasuk? Why does it split it? All right, okay. Take it or leave it. So Targuma, Rabbi Abba, so the answer to this question is Beis HaPras through Rabbanan. This field in which we think is Tameh, which we're saying is Tameh, in which this the Avil is walking through, is called the Beis HaPras, in which is the Rabbanan. The Tuma is the Rabbanan. What's the base pras? Let's see Rashi, the first, well, last, fourth line. The base of pras, the lo mitama element of Rabbanan. If a person walks down this path, this road, you're only tummy mid the Rabbanan. What does that mean? How come you're tummy mid the Rabbanan? So Rashi explains what happened over here, this type of a field. Who saw that this is a field, shenichrash bo kever, that there was a kever there.
And they
plowed it over. It was plowed, right. The chashu chachamim, that the chachamim were concerned, shema dildul klei hamachresha esoatzamos. Possibly the instrument which did the plowing may have moved the bones around in the field. Hadoris aleha mesitin ve'etzim kisa'ir. And therefore, when a person walks through the field, it's possible that maybe some of the bone will
bone fragments.
Right, and you may, it may be caught in you, or say in your handcuff, as they say, the etzim kisara, a small amount of small bone, even the size of a barley seed, is matami b'mega b'masa, matami by touching and from movement. Little oil, an ohel, you're not tame if you have this tiny little bone. If it's in the same room, it has to be much larger than that. The skeleton, it has to be the skull or the majority of the bones. Since this field you're only technically tummy mid Rabbanan who dachul ikrayhu gabi oyo. So when it comes to covenant brios, the Rabbanan say, you know what? It's okay. Because the Rabbanan are the ones that instituted it.
In this field, right. So it's mashma that if it's going to be a field that is tummy, you cannot go.
That's right. So we're distinguishing between Midrabanan and Midraisa. When it comes to Midrabanan, Kovet Habrios is more important, or not necessarily more important, but we will focus on Kovet Habrios, and therefore that's why this other walks down this Tamei the Rabanan field, continue walking through, even though you're Tamei Midrabanan. However, if you would be walking through a field which definitely would be Tamei Midraisa, there's definitely the cemetery or whatever, then you're not allowed to walk through there. That's what we're saying.
And you let the Avil go.
Let him go by himself. I cover the brios. That's why the pasuk says in chachmah v'intunah. So that's the distinction. That the only time we'll allow this to occur is the Rabbanan. So why the Rabbanan? Because the Rabbanan are the ones that instituted it, right? So they're the ones that said that this is tameh, even though derais it's not. So the Rabbanan are the ones that say hey mamru. They can also say it's okay. So they're the ones that made up the rules, if you will. So they're the ones that can bend the rules.
So therefore, according to this, I'm going to take a little license now. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to walk through a place in Poland, all of Poland or all of East Europe,
it's a concentration.
Tamei Rabbanan.
Is that something which has been
stated? I'm going to make that assumption relatively. Because let me tell you, all those fields have been very young.
Every single
field. In relation to the concentration camp.
Now the concentration camp. Yeah, these mass graves. People were just killed and shot and buried, and they were plowed under.
To why the Rabbanon? Maybe it's derisive. Maybe it's really.
But you don't know for a fact that it's there.
Okay.
As an entity there, there's a very, very good possibility that there is something that you should not even be able to walk any of these fields in Eastern Europe.
Assuming that the Rabbanan consider those fields to be Tamei the Rabbanan, then you're right. But I don't think that's a... And
every field in Poland?
There's another concept, which...
Let me ask you, in Israel, how many places were people killed and buried, and then people erected things over these places and everything else?
There's a concept that a gezeira, which the majority of the people cannot withstand, then the chamin don't make such a gezeira. So if it's something which is impossible, that a person can't function in such a country, in such a world, then they're not going to make such a gezeira. So it would be hard to believe that they would ever make that as a tamid or a banan situation, that you, therefore no one can walk anywhere in a whole...
But Rashi's interpretation of this tamid Rabbanan, that is, you know, it's just maybe, it's a possibility.
Well, they know that there was 100% a mace there, but the problem was, and it was plowed through, and the question is, what exactly happened from that point on? You know, so
how does a Jew ever go visit a concentration camp?
They can't.
In Auschwitz. Would they march in the living, all these other things like that?
Well, I mean, we're all Tommy now anyway.
We're all Tommy makes sense.
So that's that. Maybe in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, right before Pesach, you know, when you bring the Karban Pesach, maybe it could be an issue. But tell me, Mace, we're not concerned with anymore. I mean, unless you're a Kohen, but other than that. So, this is how the Gemara establishes it, that this is a special type of a field. And then the Gemara discusses other leniencies when it comes to a Beis Pras. We'll have to try to figure out what this next line of the Gemara means, but this is, at least we'll just translate it. So we said it's a base pras, which is the Rabbanan. The Omer Yehuda Meshmuel, Menachach Adam Base Pras V'Hoylik, that a person is allowed to blow in a Base Pras and continue walking. What does that mean?
He blows the things away. It's like having a grass blower and going in front of him so you can walk behind it.
That's what it literally means. If Rashi says, "Menachav Adam lefanav," in front of you, you're allowed to blow. She'im haya shav etzem. If there's a bone there, you'll be able to see it. So the Eder Raisa, who just translated Rashi, and then will maybe have difficulty with it. The Eder Raisa, who, if in fact this field is tamei midaraisa, loy havinim zalzlim dekuli hai. There's no way that they would have allowed such a heter, such blowing. In fact, since it sounds so hard to fathom.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
how they blow with their mouth? I mean, you walk around and you're crawling on your hands and knees and blowing them. I mean, you know, there was no leaf blower in the time of the Gemara.
No, they had something to, you know, bam.
But the point is, if you want to say it's silly, but that shows how lenient we are when it comes to Tumah Derabanan. Right, that we don't even care if he even wants to blow, which is kind of hard to imagine. So the point is that we're not so particular, because if it would have been derisa, as Rashi says, we would not have been mezalzel mikuli hai, disgraced and to considered the laws of Tumah Tahara so lightly. Okay. Mishdari below Ukhli Truma. So he says that you're allowed to do this for certain things, not for others. That's really that this Bedika helps L'Osa Pesach. For you to be able to perform
this. There was a time prepared to perform the Mitzvah of Pesach, and you had to cross this field to
right.
get there on time.
So for that, because it's
blow.
So important to...
This is why I say, just my grandma, that it's on time, that you do the Kabbalah Pesach at the right time. And the only way to get there is right. you walk through this field.
That's right. Then the Gemara continues and says, continuing about this base pras for one more moment before we move on to the next piece, the Omer, Rabbi Huda Barashi, Mishmei Rav, that he says the name of Rav, base pras, Shinadash Tahar. If you have a base pras which has been threshed or trampled upon, as Rashi's Baraglayim, constantly a lot of walking in that field, tahar. And the idea is that what's the concern that there may be these little fragments of bone if there's been so much movement?
They've been ground into dust, basically.
Yeah, it's or less than a sore, or it's been carried away. The point of all this is that we're extremely lenient when it comes to this field. So why are we? How do we see this? Again, we're applying it. That you're allowed to walk through this field, even though generally we're not going to want you to become tamei. Tashma. So now we're going to try to prove again. Now we're still discussing Tumah Tahara, we're eventually going to come up with other mitzvos. Toshma, the Omer Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok, Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok said the following: the medallion Hainu al Gabi Aronos, that we used to hop and skip above the Aronos, right? And Rashi says, mi Aron Aron, from one coffin, one casket, one burial plot to the next, Shomesim, Likras Malchei Yisrael, in order to visit and to be greeted and to accompany, to see the kings, Jewish kings. Likras Malchei Yisrael, Vavad Amru, Nalfil Likras Malchei Akum, even to meet a non-Jewish king, Shim Yisken. The reason for this is that if we merit Yavchin Bein Malchei Yisrael and Malchei Akum, we'll be able to distinguish between these two different types of kings. So it's a mitzvah to actually to go and visit, to see these kings. It's a very important thing. And therefore, we would do so. We would do whatever it took to get there, even jumping, going through a cemetery. So what's the big deal? Well, obviously, there's the issue of being Tameh. But Rashi says another issue. Rashi says, Dehal Rebbe Elazar Bar Tzadok Kohen Havi. So here he was going through the cemeteries, being a Kohen, in order to be able to see... Right, so the question that Gemara asks, Zaman, Lema in Chochma v'in Tfuna v'in Eitzel Negan Hashem. Okay, over here we're dealing with a Melech, so maybe you would think, you know, you should accompany the Melech, but still that's only Kavod HaBrios, he's still just a Melech Blessed Adam. So for a person, a Kohen, to become Tameh, and over here it doesn't sound like you're becoming Tameh Min Rabbanan, it says clearly you're jumping over caskets and in a grave in the cemetery. So certainly he's becoming Tameh, so how can we allow him to forgo a mitzvah, don't we say, in Chacham in Tunim in Eitzel Negan Hashem, like we find by Shabbos? So the Gemara answers another exception, and this is, you're talking about the airplanes. Kidarava, the Omer Rava, Devar Torah, Rashi translates, Halachal Moshe Masinai, the Halachal Moshe Masinai, then Ohel, to become Tameh through the means of an Ohel, it's kol sheishvo chol al tefach, if there is a space of a tefach, just let's say 4 inches of hand breadth, chutzeitz mimnei tuma, it can be a chatzitza for tuma. She'ein lo chol al tefach, if between the space of where the mace is and the piece of wood on the top is less than a chol tefach, it's very close to the remains, then it's not a chatzitza. But Rov Aronos, however, when it comes to the majority of Aronos, then at least, Yesh Behen Chalal Tefach. Most of them had the Chalal Tefach, which means that technically jumping right over doesn't do anything. Because Tuma generally goes straight up. So if it goes out the Rekia, it goes all the way up to the Shemayim, it doesn't stop. There's no point that it ends. So therefore, you can still become tummy when you go over it, right? However, because that there's a if there's a tefach, so that stops it.
You have an insulation.
Right, that's exactly that's the idea. So anything above, going over it doesn't do anything. But it's only a majority. So why would you jump over these aronos if only the majority is not an issue, but maybe there's a miut, there's a slight chance at best, or at least, that you're going to become Tameh. Begazru al sheish behen, mishum she'ein behen. The Rabbanan, again, it's only the Rabbanan, that's how we're establishing it, said that you're not allowed to do so, because maybe you'll become Tameh, because there are some Aronos which are not a chol tepach. Mishum kavod malachim, begazru behen Rabbanan, because of kavod malachim, or you can translate that also as kavod abrios, then the chachamim are not gozer. Again, this concept that when it comes to the Rabbanan, the Chachamim are allowed to remove certain halachos because they're the ones that established it to begin with. Something along those lines, yeah. So that's how the Gemara again sticks to only the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan, Kavod HaBrios. Deraisa, absolutely not. You're not allowed to break a Torah law. Now, some of the Mefarshim ask the question that when it comes to Aronos, it's Asur Bahana. What is Asur Bahana? You're not allowed to derive any benefit from the Aron. right? From a casket.
What benefit would you derive from?
They were jumping on top of it, and then jumping onto the right. And this is that it's brought down in halacha. This is what it says. Very well, just one line. It says explicitly in halacha they're not allowed to do this, to step on. Let's say you need to get something, so you step on top of it, so it's like almost a footstool. That's awesome. It's awesome. No, you're not allowed to do so. So the shaila is how they're allowed to do it. So there's two answers. One answer, he said, it's brought down, according to Rashi elsewhere, he holds that it's referring to Kibri Akum. It's talking about not a Jewish cemetery, it's talking about Kibri Akum. And therefore, Kibri Akum mitorim bahana, that you're allowed to derive benefit from, which leaves other issues. But there's another answer, which is an answer I really like, that's brought down by Rabbi Kiva Eger, in the Shilas and Shuvas Yad Eliyahu. He says, the only issue, when is there's an issue of Asr bahana, is that when you will derive benefit from it. Because if it wasn't there, I'd be stuck. I wouldn't be able to get to the top shelf. So now it's there, oh, it helps me. But over here, the reality is, he says, Lo chashav hana, kivan shibolo hakemer hoya, kal yoser leleches. It happens to be...
It's harder.
It's harder, because they wanted to get from here to there. They wanted to get there fast.
Right.
So, unfortunately, there's a cemetery in the way, and there was all these graves, so they were jumping from one to the next. It would be much easier if the path was smooth and be able to walk, run right through it.
You don't have hana, that's what they're saying.
Right, saying the whole concept of asr bahana is that you're actually benefiting from it. Over here, even though technically they are benefiting from it, they would benefit more if they didn't have to use it. So therefore, that's not considered to be an issue of something which is asr bahana. All right, let's see one more piece, and then we'll stop. Gemara continues all the way to the next Amud, so it's to the top. We'll just see one more question. Tashma, Gadol, this is a statement that the Gemara makes. Gadol kavod habrios shedoches lo sase shivatar. There you go. It says clearly statements. We don't know what the lo sase is, but there is a lo sase in the Torah, which deraisa. So it says a lo sase in the Torah, a negative prohibition in the Torah, that we will override. We'll say you do not have to worry about this mitzvah midiraisa because of the importance of kavod habrios, which again will kind of be an issue. Because the whole issue of wearing shatness happens also to be a losase shibatorah. So the Gemara is going to ask the question that if this statement is right, then why would you have to take off the shatness in the middle of the marketplace? After all, the whole issue of wearing shatness is a losase in the Torah. On the other hand, you have kavod habrios. You're saying, no, but who cares about kavod habrios? Do that mitzvah. Make sure not to violate the losase shibatorah. But we have the statement. Gadol kavod habrios shedoches lo sase shivatorah, which implies that a person could continue wearing his shatness. So the Gemara asks, "My lemein chachmein tmuna ve'enetzel neged Hashem." You can ask the same question: why do we not apply that pasuk over there? Obviously, it's coming to teach us this concept is that it doesn't make a difference. That when it comes to a deraisa, we are sensitive to the needs of people in kavod habrios. The Gemara says no. That is not the meaning of that statement of Godel Kovet Abrios. Targuma Rav Bar Shibokime de Rav Gahana Vlav de Los Sasor. When it says a losase in the Torah, it's not referring to every losase in the Torah. It's specifically referring to Los Sasor, Los Sasiyam Nismol. You're not allowed to deviate from the right or to the left. Rather, you have an obligation to listen to the Chachamim. So therefore, what is this? The point is like this. That the reality is, even though lo sasur happens to be from the Torah, but the whole purpose of that pasuk is really, it gives the Rabbanon the liberty to make certain halachos, to make certain rules. So the fact that it says, Gadol kavod habrios shedoches lo sase shivatorah, it doesn't mean that kavod habrios will uproot a deraisa, Torah law. It just means the Rabbanon, any rabbinical instituted law, that is what is allowed to be removed. That's what that statement really was referring to. The lo sase shibatorah doesn't say all of them. It says esh lo sase, a specific one. Certainly it's not referring to all of them, only lo sasor shekin means that only midrabanan do we care about kavod brios. So Gemara says, what does that mean? That lo sas. Oh, it's only referring to lo sasor. But so achichu laugh. They laughed upon this. They said, lav the lo sasor diraisehi. They're telling me that it's only talking about the rabbanan. But the whole the word lo sasor is from the Torah, right? So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Kahana, Gavra Rabba Amar Milsa, Lo Techichu Aleha. If you hear a great man, a huge Talmud Chacham, a scholar say something, if you don't understand it, don't just assume that he's wrong. Don't laugh at him. Kol Mili Derabanan Asmechinhu Alav Lo Sasor. That all of the words of the Rabbanan, they support are supported on the words Lo Sasor. Mishum kavodo shor rabbanan. When it comes to kavod, kavod abrios, the rabbanan mater. So basically, what the Gemara is saying is that really, when it comes to a deraisa, follow the Torah. Kavod abrios, we don't care about kavod abrios. You have to follow the laws. However, when it comes to a derabbanan, then you're allowed to overlook it. But it says, gadol kavod abrios shidochas losaseh shibatorah. The losaseh is talking about losaser. Losaser means that the rabbanon have the right to establish,
to interpret.
Right. So therefore, they have the right to add. They have allowed to remove it. And
so
therefore,
this, is this the S in the parentheses?
Yeah.
So that's a different gear stuff from a different Gemara.
I guess there's a discussion.
Because we are learning we're saying because it says S, losa, so that only one doraisa. Right. If it didn't have that S, right. Then it would be bringing shidocha losa seshit
b'torah. Right. Without the S, it strengthens the question. The S, it justifies the answer. The answer, right. So that's why it's in brackets. Generally, we will, whatever is in brackets, we read. What's in parentheses, we don't. Okay. So that's basically what we're up to, and we'll talk about that more next week. We'll stop here.
We're going to have a good time next week.